This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable David Rouser. He represents the 7th Congressional District of North Carolina. Welcome back to the show.
Well, it's good to be with you.
It's things are heating up, not just temperature-wise, but things are heating up in Congress, really kind of keeping you on your toes right now, isn't it?
Well, it's always that way, especially a couple weeks before the August recess. And, of course, it's appropriations season as well. So you've got all those appropriations bills in the House that have been marked up in committee or being brought to the floor. And, in fact, voted on what they call a minibus a little earlier today. But a lot of pressing issues out there for sure. And I know we're going to talk about some of those, like input cost and waters of the U.S. and upcoming farm bill, and so there's a lot of groundwork to be laid. As I anticipate, we're going to have the majority. Republicans have the majority in the House after this election, and so we're going to be in the driver's seat as it relates to farm policy moving into next year.
Definitely want to come back on that in just a moment. You mentioned earlier, though, the inflation, and this is something that obviously hits every American, but it impacts ag a little differently. What are you watching on that front?
Well, a lot of it's driven by high energy cost, and of course, this administration, for whatever reason, is hell-bent on their war against fossil fuels. President Biden campaigned on eliminating fossil fuels. And I think, unfortunately, the whole country is experiencing the very negative ramifications of that policy. When you take America offline and rely on all your adversaries overseas, not only do you have increased prices at the pump, but, you know, these increased oil prices are doing nothing but helping President Putin and his evil aggression against Ukraine, not to mention all the other thugs and dictators out there. So it's really a wrong-headed policy. Of course, all our farmers, they use a lot of diesel, and certainly is affecting their operations from a cost standpoint. No question about it.
You also mentioned another one in there, the waters of the U.S., or WOTUS, and we thought we'd buried the acronym of WOTUS a few years ago, but no, somebody has dug this one back up and it's back. What's happening?
Well, we believe that the Trump administration had it right. They struck the right balance and brought great clarity to the definition of waters of the U.S. As you may recall, under the Obama rule that was put forward, it was so wide-ranging in scope that bipartisan opposition, Democrat mayors, Republican mayors, it didn't matter what your party stripe was around the country. Everybody was concerned about the great overreach of the federal government through the Obama WOTUS rule. Then there were some court challenges that put a hold on that. In the interim, the Trump team came forward and put forward a very sensible rule. Well, and just like everything else with President Biden, this was one of the first items that they reversed when this president came into office. And so we'll see how this unfolds. Hopefully the U.S. Supreme Court, there's a case before them, Sackett versus the EPA, on this particular matter. And hopefully they will get the ruling right on that. And, of course, that's specific to the definition of water as it relates to wetlands, so it may not prove to be a case that is as wide-ranging in scope as maybe I would like, particularly if they rule correctly. But this is going to be a big issue moving forward, and assuming we can get the majority in the fall, I think you'll see next year a number of attempts on appropriations bills to rein this administration in on it, if, in fact, they propose a new rule that's anything close to the original Obamacare rule, the original Obama rule.
It brings up kind of the question here that Congress writes the legislation, and then the idea behind it would be, I guess, ideally would be that then your groups like EPA or USDA or whoever we're talking about would implement it as Congress had intended, but we don't always see that. Is that something that's gaining any traction? Is there any concern among members that maybe legislation needs to be a little clearer before it goes to those regulatory?
You are absolutely right. And the genesis of the problem is that Congress basically used the term waters of the U.S. in the statute, but they didn't define specifically what waters of the U.S. is. And because of that, you have a variety of different interpretations out there. And you have an element of society, very radical environmentalists and others that want to regulate every little piece of land that possibly might have a mud puddle. And certainly, if you had enough rain to where you had a stream of water that went from one end of the field to the other end of the field, we think that's an outrageous interpretation and not at all what Congress would have intended. But the way to rectify this long term is to codify basically the Trump rule or a similar rule and definition, and that makes it very, very clear. The problem you have legislating it is we could get it through the House if we have enough like-minded members, and we will if the elections go as I think they will in November. But the Senate, you still got to get 60 votes to do almost anything, and we're not going to have near enough members in the Senate to enact that type of statutory change that's necessary. And not only that, whatever you pass in one chamber and then the other, obviously the president's got to sign it into law. So you really have to have the political stars aligned and a unified governing philosophy between the executive branch and the legislative branch to achieve that. So therein lies the difficulty of it. But that would be the ideal way to address it for sure.
Well, I just wonder if we can apply some of those same things you just talked about, a unification, if you will, when it comes to reauthorization of the next farm bill. What are you watching there?
Well, we got to figure out a way to handle input costs to enable our farmers, our farm families all across the country to be able to cash flow the next several years. I anticipate what's going to happen. Commodity prices are somewhat high now, but input prices obviously have gone way up. And typically what happens is the commodity prices will level off, but the input prices will remain high. And that's going to create some challenging, a very challenging environment for our farm families all across the country in the next few years. So I believe we've got to have a farm bill that takes that into consideration, whether that's modifications to crop insurance or perhaps adding, in addition to crop insurance, some type of direct payment like we've had in the past that is broadly applied across all sectors of agriculture, somewhat similar to maybe the trade adjustment payments that were made during the Trump years when we were battling the in the middle of the tariff wars. So I think that's going to be a real central focus. How do we buttress the current safety net to accommodate for the major increase in input cost?
So much going on. Appreciate you taking a few minutes to update us. Wish you the best, a good August recess, and a good finish to the end of the year. Will you come back and visit with us?
Absolutely. Would love to do that. And I will certainly be out and around my district during the course of August. And I have a farm advisory team that I meet with, agriculture advisory team of farmers and others closely aligned with agriculture. And they do a really good job of helping keep me informed of the major issues that they're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And so look forward to visiting with you in the fall when we're back in session full throttle, perhaps in September. We'll certainly have a number of items on deck at that point, too.
The Honorable David Rouser, you'll find him in the 7th Congressional District of North Carolina, joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.